Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And thank you, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. God, a lot of great day, interesting day. You know, I hope those who are like myself, brewing with the heat here, have unusual weather. I know people back east were hit, I guess, a couple weeks ago, and now the West Coast is feeling it. So, y'all just start up, keep cool, man, keep cool. Anyway, before I get into my, my explanations, my dialogues of today's show, I want to give a special announcement for those who will be in the Los Angeles area, more particular in the Ventura County area. I will be tomorrow in Ojai doing a lecture in regards to Kabbalah. So those who would like to know, would like to come out, it's a two-hour lecture. I know you'll enjoy it. Besides doing the lecture, it'll incorporate a meditation as well. And there's actually, I'm going to be giving a Kabbalistical chant. And it's basically, I allow people, you know, wonder sometimes what Kabbalah is. I know people have heard different things and you may have, like I said, heard of it, but what is it really? And I'll be discussing and explaining the very essence of Kabbalah with its practical understandings and its spiritual concepts in relation to the universe and the soul. Any practical form, meaning it's a way, not just, it's not a theory. And that's the tomorrow, Saturday, August 18th at 2 p.m. And it's going to be at the Soul Center, Soul, like God Soul, Center, like you got to be centered, and CHOP. And that is at 311 North Montgomery, Ojai, California. Of course, 93023. And here's their number. You can call ahead. You can also pre-register. There is actually a discount if you do pre-register, so do so. It is limited, 805-640-8222. Again, that's 805-640-8222. And please come on down. I look forward to seeing you all. And thank you. Now, the other announcement. Going to the next following week, I will be I've been invited to be at their psychic fair and actually do readings. As you can see on my posting, by the way, any of you who have missed this, you can look at the website, BBS Radio, at my webpage there. Has same information. So if you miss it, don't worry. I will also, the following Saturday, the Saturday, you know, for next, August 25th. And I will be there from 11 to 6 p.m. Doing readings at their psychic fair. They're having a yeah, they have psychic fairs, I think, like once every 6 months there. Again, that is on August 25th, Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Again, here's the address and the name. Of course, it's at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery, Ojai, California, 93023. And that's at 8. And the phone number there to contact is 805-640-8222. And I look forward to all seeing you there. I feel like Cal Worthington. Come on down. See my dog Spot. Those who remember that. Who lived in L.A. growing up in the 60s and 70s. I think he's still around. Anyway, what I wanted to get into, and it's funny how I think about what show I'm going to do, and sometimes life circumstances across, and I think I've said this in the past, and then sort of somebody in a situation throws that in front of you, so, oh, God, do I have to explain this on my radio show? So I felt I have to tell this on my radio show. Let me explain to you. I had this interesting conversation with somebody I know in work, and they were, in fact, talking of situations in regards to Kabbalism and the universe, whatever. And unfortunately, they look at consistently looking at things without the real foundation. They look at things in a finite aspects, very linear. They take the metaphors in Kabbalism is to be the absolutism. And they're getting actually lost from what it really is. This is actually found amongst many people, even who the rabbis, and they lose the very fundamentals of what Kabbalism is. And this, by the way, relates not just to Kabbalism, but in Taoism and a lot of the esoterics. People get lost in the concepts, and they forget where the source of the concepts are, and that's where they're losing, as they say, the eye on the ball, as they say. So the question is the foundation and the loss from the beginning, and why does that happen? I mean, from the finite to the infinite, or is it the infinite to the finite? There's an old thing that has elements in Chinese theology and from Taoism of the circle and the square. I think I may have mentioned in a past show, or you probably may have seen a coin, a Chinese coin. It's obviously a circle, and in the center has a little square in it. Well, there's a reference to that square and the circle as being that the circle represents the spirit. And also the personality, it represents the square being rigid, don't move, finite. Well, it has more connotations than that. It's almost like the square is the perspective of it's the personality. And what is the personality? It has a perspective, it's a limited form. And that's why you have the circle. Now you'll probably see, this is of Taoism. You'll see like the symbol of Tao has a circle and has that little wiggly line in the middle separating the yin and yang. And as the I Ching, and I Ching means of change. And the thing is, that symbol, it has a lot of reference too. It's because in reality, if you took out the split, the universe really is a circle. It's not a yin and yang, except for cause and effect that we see. That's true. But the universe, and when you go into the absolute truth within the universe, you're looking into an aspect of non-linear, non-square, to infinite, or to place of nothingness. And that's what I'm going to get into. People have to understand when you look at theologies. I know this is going to be sort of like I use my bad English here, my profanity, a mindfuck. I'm trying to want you to understand when you look at theologies and you look in the realities of understandings of any concepts, and things which are going to, what concepts are, people take things too, in principle, concrete. They look at them in a round, in a square as opposed to a circle. And that is the problem. So they never really get it. They're looking at, they're trying to take like a constant look, oh, I have a peg, and the peg is triangle. So I could take that triangle peg and stick it in a triangle hole. So that's how they're constantly looking at situations, and that's in reality, that's actually, the peg was made up to fit for, so that's what they're constantly doing. They're already pre-making things to fit. And this gets into aspects of people's perspectives. In concepts, what is really concept? Concept is like water. That's really what it is. Concepts you need to look at concepts like water. Water, you know, flows, it merges around you, it can adapt to things, right? Yet it pulls, it has that, you know, the hydrogen oxygen bond connection. So like a little chain pulls together, it flows. Yet we'll take water, we'll stick it in a cup, and then I'll hold the water in a cup and I'll go, here, I have some water. And then the first thing you'll say is, oh yeah, you have a cup of water, right? A cup of water. You'd be more focused that the water happens to be in a cup as opposed to water for being what it is. It's just water. Now, if I take that same water and I put it in a different kind of cup, you'd be looking at that new kind of cup. Now, I take that kind of water and now I splash it on the ground and it's flat. You're going to look at how it's flat on the ground. And that's the whole point. You're looking at the dimensions of where the water is and where the situation of the thing surrounding as opposed to the water for itself. The water adapts. That's my point. And that's how to look at concepts. People look at concepts as absolutism, as concrete. And that's where it comes the illusion, because even concepts are diluted. As soon as we speak it, they're really not wisdom, they're understanding, which I'll get into. Oh, I guess I'm going to get into. Now, because I have to. In Kabbalism, and I think this is really, through explanation, this really sort of like lays out fundamentals. So if somebody was to study Kabbalism or even any of the esoterics, it really, really comes down to these two situations. Wisdom and understanding. And what they are. And they go in hand to hand, but you have to understand what the elements are. And when I get into this, you'll start seeing why I'm getting into that, hopefully. And by the way, anybody who has questions, you can feel free to contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. That's my email address if you have questions. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is before even being verbalized, even in thought. It's from where? Where does wisdom come from? Does it come from a book? No. Because it comes from words? No. That's an understanding. People say, oh, you have, that's like, that's true wisdom in this book. No. Wrong. No. Wisdom is never verbalized. What you're reading is an understanding. The source of understanding comes from wisdom. But where is the source? Where does it initially come from? See, this is the truth, not the perspective. And even as I'm speaking this to you, these concepts, it's a concept. It's to get you to see the universe in relation to you in the true form. And you can often see this by through experience. And what is experience? I'll get into that later. Wisdom. The source of wisdom is from where? It is nothing. Nothing like, oh man, that's nothing. No. The source is from nothing. You see, when it's a thought or verbalized, it becomes diluted. The minute the wisdom becomes expressed in form of words, or apparently in some verbalized manner, it's already becoming diluted. You see an image and you just see the situation you're experiencing, right? The minute it starts happening, and then you start putting it into verbal words, even in thought form, it's already becoming diluted. Therefore, it is understanding. Wisdom is never diluted. That's why wisdom is truth. Right? You probably may have heard that. Well, it's true. Wisdom is truth. So what is wisdom? It's non-diluted. The minute I even speak it, it has a contour to it. Even when I'm trying to explain this to you, even that, the truth of the truth, is being diluted because I'm expressing it to you. And why is it nothingness? You've heard this probably in Taoism or Kabbalism, that like the empty bowl, or in Kabbalah, they constantly refer to the Ein Sof, which is the foundation. It doesn't say Blisof, which is really infinity. In Hebrew, Blisof means without end, right? Ein means nothing. Ein Sof, there's nothing. So it's really pointing you to the direction of nothingness beyond space. It's not a coincidence these words are used. It's giving you a hint, a keys. These be the keys to understanding things. That's why all this stuff has you keys to get you to look and see yourself for what it is. This is why when people start studying, they try to take information and apply it to nothingness as opposed to nothingness going the opposite direction. And when you look at things in the reverse manner, then you go, wow, now I understand it. This is why the way you would see and study certain instances, the way you can take a book that has great understandings within it comes from the source of perhaps wisdom. And every time you read it, you have a new, like, awakening kind of thing. That's because as you're experiencing the information, the understanding coming to you, you're having an epiphany. And the experience in itself is the wisdom. Get it? The experience within gaining that information. Because the wisdom is already there. But your experiences of it is the wisdom. It's the erection to nothingness. So it always goes from that source. So, there is, I think I have it here. In fact, I'm going to read it. Thought I was going to forgot about it, but I usually don't do this until I have in, it's something I have in my, I do for my classes. So if I'm doing class tomorrow, but I'm talking about some of the subjects for what I'm doing today. I often have my students, when they first start taking a class or when I do a lecture, I ask them to write a simple thing down, and you can write this down. When one ascends, one walks up the steps backwards while gazing downwards. One never rises looking up. One rises only while looking down. And I would say, explain to them. Write it down. This has a lot of references. Why? This literally gives you the understanding of how to have the perspective of true understanding and experiencing the wisdom. Because the wisdom is like up, let's say, it's like toward nothingness. And you are looking down from it, from source, as the information comes to you, as you're reading. This is why, if you read, you'll see trees like the Sefer Root and all those things. It's going down. It's looking from the Chochmah, from the crown, from the top, and looking down. Because you're gaining. See, all this is really, I would say, the 101, real basic, but it's real, real important. And a lot of people skip over this. It's probably the most important, stuff that you can learn this, and that's it. All you need to, everything else will make, it'll make sense or whatever in any esoteric, but they'll jump into theories and reading Zohar, blah, 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 or even sitting in Taoism, the same thing, even in Buddhism, same thing. A lot of people get caught up in concepts and forget the source. And if they forget the source, they get too caught up in the concepts and they lose the whole point. And they make things more complicated, as I meant, and, you know, it's in reality, everything's actually really, really simple. Really, you don't have to make 4 million books out of it. Everything is really simple. The universe is really simple. It's not complex. We often make it complex, because why are we making it complex? The world is a circle and running around like that. Then why are we taking a square, trying to put a fit a square in the circle? That's what happens. The universe is infinite, being a circle. Example: time, space is circular, curved. Yet by our own imagination, through our own perspectives, we assume they're flat or linear or square, dimensional. Yet in the reality of things, the universe is multidimensional, isn't it? But we assume it being 5D in our own eyes. This is like what we talk about worlds, too. So anyway, it's having the right perspective. The foundation of everything is infinite or beyond the infinite. What's beyond the infinite? Nothing. Ein Sof. We always say Ein Sof, Ein. This is why you'll see in Hebrew this little character called a Yud, and it's a very tip pointing upward, very teeny, teeny, because it's heading to the direction of nothingness. It's the finite versus the infinite of direction, the reality. The absolute nothing versus the infinite. See, it's going beyond the infinite. That is a simple truth. Things are really, really simple, as I said. And I will also show you how real they are. Many people make them more complex, as I said. The infinite being Ein Sof or infinite or beyond the infinite. What is that? That is what people call God. And what is that? That's us, the universe. We're the same. That's what it means, Achad, one, Beyachad. It's not some guy in the sky telling you what to do. It's not some guy who's going to get mad at you and curse you. These are not real. Those are metaphorical things taking out of context of the reality. This is what's called diluting the information. As I said, they're taking the diluted understandings and yet they are been diluted. Wisdom, understanding. If you understand wisdom and you understand understanding, then you'll have the basic foundation to understand being of source of wisdom, and when you look at the concepts and know how they apply, they adapt to what they are. Don't look at the cup, but the water itself, how it adapts to the things. This is like our experience, and then when we're experiencing, we're having the true wisdom. We're feeling, we're experiencing that wisdom. It is nonverbal. You eat an apple. You take an apple and you're eating it, right? The minute I ask you what it tastes like, or the minute you're thinking about what it tastes like, and you go, this is sweet, or whatever, or the texture, the minute you put it in verbiage, that becomes understanding. As you're experiencing eating the apple, it becomes a wisdom. It is heading, that's the wisdom. It's the non-thought. It's the nothingness. This is what it's meant to be when people, you often hear people be in the moment, because when you're experiencing being in the moment, you're actually identifying to the true wisdom. And that gets in a relationship to the four worlds, which people often misunderstand the worlds within Kabbalism. This is even, I'll tell you, a lot of rabbis have misconstrued this because they get caught up in the concept. Like I told you, they lose the directions and they dilute it and they get caught up more and more, making it more complex. Why the more complex they are, the more complex when they're so simple? They're diluting this and they're looking at the cup as opposed to the water. It said eating an apple. What's it taste like? Oh, that's the understanding. The act of experience is the wisdom. That is the reality. Now I'm going to express this in Kabbalism. But it does have, I know in Taoism, and I think it has in Buddhism, I know shaman and they utilize the same thing, and a lot of esoterics basically the same. In some, because some use three worlds, four worlds, five worlds, whatever. But here's the understanding concepts, get it, concepts, four worlds. In the lowest world that we see, we call it Asya. Asya is sort of like the five-way world that we visually see around us. That's what we perceive around us. The next world that you could say is Yetzirah, and that's the, when you close your eyes and you're dreaming, you're going that dreaming state, oh, and I see all those things. Those things, in regards to archangels, preside to, and angels, those worlds, is that's the Yetzirah. You probably feel like when you're in dream state, but that's still a dimension where you're at, and it's still around us, right? Now, and it ain't caused by some chemical thing, because actually the soul does go out. It's not connected. It's a physics fact that your brain isn't your mind, and nor your soul. Because what happens when you die, when that little 21 grams goes, what is it? Anyway, so that's Yetzirah. The next level or world, actually, they call it Birah. And that's like the next one. And sometimes you can visualize it as, and I'm giving you sort of a understanding. It's like shooting the stars, flying around, energy. You're getting to that matrix. Because that's getting you to the closer matrix of what the universe is. We're all energy, flying around. Outlook of with our body, everything, physiologically, everything's energy. That's Birah. Everything's energy, Birah. Okay? And if you see that, that's it. And in Birah, there's no lighter, or there's no positive, there's no good or bad, and there's no that inching of changes, no, there's no plus or minus. It just is energy. Now, the next level, as you're heading further up, it's called Atzilut. And Atzilut is heading to the direction of what? Nothingness. Oh, where was I talking about? Everybody talks about Atzilut. By the way, Atzilut and Birah, actually, and they say angels can't go those areas because they don't have choice or free will. They just do. Why human souls can do this. Now, I'm not really talking about human souls. We're not talking about souls from around the world or universe about their choices, but they, since they choose, they also are in those worlds too. That's why this more or less goes in context with everything. But those, these are the concepts. And as you see, those is where... So as you go, in Hebrew they say, beyond the Yechidah, beyond the Keter is nothingness. Beyond nothing is the Yechidah, which is Yahad, Yechidah, meaning you go beyond the nothingness, you're simply the one with God, the Keter. That is the real world, that we're all really connected. That is the truth. And that's where the understanding is, but that is the direction of wisdom toward nothingness. Toward the opposite direction is toward understanding, and understandings can often be diluted. And this is how things are. This is why I refer to, if you're ever reading the Bible, gave you hints and little things and disclosures. Out of nothingness was created, right? And then things are made. And just read what's going on. It's giving you the understandings of the world, but not the, giving you the absolute, because it's still an understanding. It's giving metaphors. Adam and Eve was metaphors. There was no Adam and Eve. It was giving you like a little parable, telling you, giving you an idea how things are working, basically. It's a story. But people get caught up in the concepts of as if they're real. It's like people, and I have men, I was like, wow. And then they go, oh, this is my Kabbalah. I said, okay, that's your Kabbalah. Because they get caught up in these things. This is what they do in a lot of these, I used to see these little centers and things, and they go online and some rabbi or somebody else tells them. Because they didn't go to 101. If you don't have 101, you're never going to have no. If you don't have foundation, then you're out of line. You're not going to be in a true understanding the essences of, within Kabbalism in the first point, or even looking at other concepts. If you don't have the understanding of nothingness, and you don't look from the perspective of wisdom versus understanding, you're lost. You'll be caught up in concepts. This is where people, and I'll get to this other part of the world in a second, you'll find, I know a lot of people, when they go try to figure stuff out, it's like a quote, mind fuck. They go nuts. There are people who have actually tried to figure things out, and it's like they'll go nuts. There's a movie I remember called Pi, and it was a guy who was figuring the end of Pi or whatever. And what did he do? He ended up going nuts because he was looking at the lineage of Pi. He got caught up in the never-ending cycle and trying to figure out, because he's trying to put with the infinite space into a square. He's thinking from square to infinite. It doesn't work that way. Instead, he should be thinking of infinite going to square. So if he looks at everything being infinite and this is just a reflection of it, then he would have, okay. Because that is from the infinite coming to finite, and our finite being, our assumed finite, because we're trying to understand it, that becomes diluted, but it's still not the opposite. It's like not the truth. Now, Atzilut, I'm getting back to the thing I wanted to explain. Out of Atzilut, which is the high, the top world, you want to call it, is nothingness. And then from Bira, something comes from nothing. From Yetzirah is making from something. And of course, the Asiyah is actually forming from something, creating the completion. And that's why when people, when they go and let's say play music or whatever, or like Einstein, he used to say he played a violin or take boxing, trying to come up with ideas. He's walking around, you're doing stuff, and you go to a place of non-thought all of a sudden while you're not thinking, oh, idea comes in. Oh, wow. And where did that come from? Nothingness. Where did your idea come from? I mean, where is the source of the idea? Oh, yeah. Now, you may have see something, and it might go ring a bell. Wait a second, I remember that. And bing, out of nowhere, you'll know it. But the place of it, like there might be a stimulus or a catalyst that causes you to, oh, wow, now affirmation or epiphany or whatever. But it comes from where? Nothingness. This is why, going back to the very beginning, foundation. Lost from the beginning. Why? Because from it, you can't take finite and stick it in infinite. You can't take a square and suddenly stick it in a circle. Don't fit. You know, so you take a circle and you put a square inside of it, it doesn't really fit, does it? You have missing parts. So now you know the whole thing about Chinese circle. Well, Chinese circle is actually, the circle means spirit. They reflect, some people say it's spirit. Circle means spirit, square means personality. So it's trying to tell you that basically that this personality, it's not the personality that happens as spirit, it's the spirit that happens to have personality. I had a friend of mine famously quote that, and I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. I was like, wow. Now, all things work, again, how does things work in the reality of events? This is all I often like to do readings. I'll say it comes from, you look from spirit to mental to physical. It don't go the other way around. So that's why they often say how you fix yourself. You can't fix yourself physically or mentally. And this is what they do in psychology. They try to fix yourself mentally and then it goes wrong. You never fix it. Now, you can do like changing your spirit and fixing your spirit. And you can do affirmations and changing your thought patterns, that will actually create the change of spirit because you're changing your frequency. What is spirit? Basically, your energy is a frequency. If you increase the frequency of your spirit, therefore, if you increase the frequency of your spirit, you become more perspectives increase. That's what means waking. That's the process of waking up. As you're increasing, things unfold, and that trickles like rain comes down to the mental, affects your mental, and affects your physical in different ways. That's how you fix it. You work on the spirit, mental, physical. Now, again, most who learn esoterics like Kabbalah or shaman or spirituality or the cores of Taoism or any of the concepts, like I said, many will get lost from the get-go. Again, why I regret it? Because they're losing the foundation. They're learning from a finite and placing finite into an infinite, and they get lost. It's simply getting lost in finite concepts when the concepts are metaphors of water. Like I said, holding the glass of water. Most will see the glass, but that happens to hold the water rather than the water being adapting to the glass. And what is water? Water adapts, as I reiterate, all forms, gas, solid, liquid. This is the same with concepts. And reason I'm rehashing this, trying to embed into you, see what I'm trying to elaborate. Most get caught up in the literal when it's all metaphoric. And many get caught in the absolutism when it's not absolutism, and you have to distinguish the absolutism. It's distinctive perspective that becomes the absolutism. Truth be known, that's understanding, not wisdom. Wisdom is not diluted. Understanding is, as I'm talking to you, even though you can say, oh, wow, that's pretty wise. No, that's understanding. So in fact, regarding Kabbalah, many who think that they're studying become lost because they forget the foundation of the Kabbalah in reality is infinite, is the infinite reality, is beyond the infinite and the nothingness. The essence of Tao, many get caught up in the infinite understanding. Same with a lot of shamanic ideas and understandings. When, why are you here? In the simplest form, why are you here? People say, oh, it's love. It's this, it's that. Here is really one simple word. Simple word. Experience. You are in your body to experience. You can experience love, experience this. Get down to the core of everything. One simple thing you're supposed to be here for. Experience. You're experiencing listening. You're experiencing the love. You're experiencing the hate. You're experiencing all these things. You're experiencing through your eyes, your visions. You're experiencing what you hear. Your experience when you sleep, your experience when you go out of body, in your body, dreams. You are simply experiencing. That is the existential truth. And that very moment is your experiencing is the source toward the wisdom. Because it comes from nothingness. Another aspect, I know often people don't get caught up, and this is why I'm explaining this of the experiences. There's like three principles in Kabbalah, for example. They say love, unconditional love. So that unconditional love, no, we're all connected, blah, blah, blah. Not blah, 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 but it's really, really real. Having compassion, unconditional love. That brings you the reality of how we're all one, ahad, connected. Bira is to create. We're always constantly manifesting, creating. Another one happens to be Merkava. That's the third pillar. And Merkava, being spirit, is what we're really doing. When we do all these experiences of practical, mechanical means, like I didn't understand, like when I had a holy man have me do certain things, it was really learning to get me to learn how to focus and connecting to the spiritual side and going out of body. Actually, we're really heading, you head to a direction to learn how to go out of body. And when you go out of body, then you connect. That's through channeling. And that's why I don't say everybody has to do it. And you fear, that's why everybody's at their own pace. There's no, this ain't a racetrack. Ain't because something's level. It just happens to be where you're at. But that's the direction you're heading. Because when you go out of body, when you start going doing these, you start channeling for that, or going to whatever means. Through meditation, you may have a minuscule channeling. That's why meditation or all these little things in yoga, and the things that you're doing, you're spiritually connecting. It's a mechanical means to get you into Merkaba. It's connection. That is what it is. It's connecting to your spirit. It's the mechanical means. And everything you do doing that happens to be it. That includes if you're studying. People sit there and they'll study over and over and over. And what it does is you can actually mechanically get into that frame. That's all you're doing. People have caught up in the words. That's why I say when you read something, I didn't understand what I was reading. I was like, wow, I'm starting to get. And I had one of my teachers, the holy person of the Ma, in Kasarya, he used to say, as soon as you start studying the Zohar, because he knew how I was studying, he gave me this thing, book called Sefer Raziel, I want you to go work in your fields. Didn't understand why. It's because as I was studying, you feel like this high. You start getting out there. You're just getting pulled out. So to keep me grounded, I have to do something physically. Work on weights, gym, even make love. That's physical, right? Yoga. All these things, I constantly tell clients and people, you know, when you're increasing your frequency, which you understand, you're having sort of like a Merkaba experience, that you still need to keep grounded. Because we have to walk around in our physical worlds. But getting back, that's part of the Merkaba. Everything's part of connecting. And it is a direction connecting you to what? Toward the wisdom, which gives you the understanding when you start expressing it. That's why when people meditate, all of a sudden they get information out of nowhere. That's why you go play drums or music, you quickly go into that space, and then all of a sudden this idea or things come in, or you come creative or whatever. That's why you need to always, in our worlds, we're constantly living in this past, future, and we're never in the moment. You need to have them all together. And you can't just be always in the moment, because that's like the guy sitting on his couch smoking a joint. No, you have to have all three. You learn from the past, you have a direction in the future, and you try to be in the moment. And being in the moment is the Merkaba. The essential basis. And all these things I'm expressing to you, again, is understanding. It's very simple. Nothing extraordinary. So why is it? Experience is the wisdom without expression of words. And much of what is written in esoterics leads to the simple understanding. So why the difficulty? Why is it so hard to get this? Perhaps we assume the perspective that things are finite. Because we see with our eyes, so we have to learn to finite things. We apply finite concepts and perspectives into the infinite. It doesn't compute. Why do you think, I personally think, and I'll tell this all along, psychology is pure crap. Categorizing the spirit and the soul like in a box. How the hell can you put the human soul in a box or a name? You are seeing reflections of personalities. Reflections of personalities. And they're constantly trying to fix. So what they do, they look at the body. And this is in medicine. They look at the body like, what? We're car parts. But in reality, we're energy, right? Now, that's looking at an infinite understanding, which is heading toward more correct wisdom, right? Looking toward, remember, Biara, that's heading toward that direction. We're like energy. So we're all like energy, right? We take pictures. We have this x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans. We use the diagnosis of energy, getting to the truth, right? Heading toward the truth of what our problem is. But how do we fix it? We don't fix it like using energy. We go, here's a pill. Oh, that pick or cut out this piece. They do in medicine, ironically, like Newtonian theory, which is sort of like diluted, very diluted understandings. Get it? Hope you do. So if the truth is heading toward the infinite and the infinite is an illusion, then why are we so caught up in assumptions? We're caught up in the assumption of taking concepts as concrete. We are told stories as if it is our own eyes and ears can imagine as being the reality, and it isn't. Now here's the famous Kabbalist who said, I don't even know who said this, so I say famous. Wynn said, and this is actually a really good way of looking at the universe. How to understand the universe. The wisdom of the universe is light. Reflecting off a wall into a bowl of water. We observe the water. If the water is still, we have a better understanding. If it isn't, then we do not. What is the water? Our mind. Think about that. It has a lot of points to what I've said. The water, being in a bowl, the mind, reflections of wisdom. And then our depth, our appearance, we visually see what we think we see reflecting into the, off the water. Our mind is too limited because we're limited by our frequency. When God said the light is so intense that we can't see it, this applied in reference to why Moses could see God with his own eyes. It's why they can't see God with eyes, because how can you see the whole world in your eyes? Simple 3D eyes. How can you see God when God is within you and all around you? Well, how can we see that? It's beyond definition. It can't be. You cannot take, that's why it's illogical to place God as a he or she or son of God or any, that's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's not reality. It's not even truth. Yet we'll make these archaic things. And we'll manifest off these because we believe in, by the way, they're creating manifestations of these situations to think they are, and they're just manifesting their own things. But they're not really the reality of the universe. It's absurd. It's because, like I said, like something like our eyes, which apply to a limited formalization, we cannot see infinite, obviously, right? If you look into deep space in the infinite, what can you see? Wow, nothing. Get it? Yet, there are simply, basically, four principles. Again, these are principles, concepts. We are all connected in some form or another. One. Two, we are always exist in one form or another. Three, for every action, there is a reaction. All energy is action. All is action. Four, all things change because all things are in motion. Again, all is action, which is energy. All things are energy. So that brings to infinite, nothing to what? Where do ideas come from? Nothing. And the wisdom is from nothing. Now, I wrote last show. Something I wrote a while back. It is copywritten, so don't haha. For those who think they want to place, if they want to use it, that's fine, but know where its source is from. It's called taking a simple step. Taking a simple step, pondering the question, all that always remains, as the moonlight just wanes. When difficulty arises, suffering from the decay of dreams, while a child of the park, laughter is in the park. The true nature is the calling, the blind soul still complaining, the strings of the harp ringing, the spirit of the ocean singing. The true God within in the universe of all, while the lies of the cloth endure, the pain of separation is always near. The tree of crows perches, the flower raven blooms. Wisdom is the nothing, and the understanding is clothing. Past is within future. Future has come from the past. While digging fills the hole of illusion, the hole creates the forest of confusion. A leaf never views its tree, as the root never feels the bark. Knowing is becoming as being the phloem, as the flowing of water. Feeling is simply the decorum. The wheel simply spins. The hamster simply continues repeating the same old with no end. The illusion of the wheel with no mend. Why being the question, how being the answer. The cause from the effect brings upon the continual game. Thinking or not thinking, or feeling insane is lame. Cars in a parking lot. Highways have a direction. Rearview mirrors being the movie screen, while losing the moment until one screams. Halves of twos or three or four with no end. The facade of three, one being the Teptonian dream. Flames are eternal, the hearts being nocturnal. Choices of all and many. Desires with causes while not taking responsibility being the insanity. Underlying the true intention of vanity. True nature being the path, the way toward being joy of neither happiness or suffering, the wisdom being nothing, the understanding simply the covering. God bless you all, and I will close with this last song, So Righteously on the Mark by Neil Young, Art of Gold. God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. And until next time, next station. Same when pigs fly, same pigs station pigs. Anyway, God bless you all. You get the joke. Take care.
I've been to Hollywood, I've been to Redwood, I crossed the ocean for a heart of gold. I've been in my mind, it's such a fine wine, keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old, me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. Searching for a heart of gold. You keep me searching and I'm going.